I wanted to air my conversation with Tamara Saviano now. She was Guy Clark's biographer, wrote a definitive biography of Guy, and they became good friends. And then she directed a documentary about Guy and the complex, turbulent relationship between him, his wife Susanna, and Townes Van Zandt. I saw, as I say, the film a couple months ago, and it's a very intimate look at the three of them. And I started by saying to Tamara that it's clear watching the film that you can't tell the story of Guy's life without Susanna and Townes. And I asked her, what about as a songwriter, was there any identifiable influence either of them had on Guy's writing?
I think they all influenced each other as writers because they were so eager to share their work with each other and get approval. They were all very different writers. Guy was very craftsmanlike in every line mattered. It mattered just as much what was not in the song that was. And Susanna was a hit songwriter. She was just writing for the radio. And Townes was dreaming up these kind of mystical characters out of nowhere. So I think they were all very different, but they influenced each other and cheered each other on.
Susanna said that Guy didn't care about writing hit songs. He cared about writing great songs. And as you said, Susanna wrote hits. Did he look down on her songwriting?
Oh, no, not at all. He was really proud of her. Sometimes they were competitive with each other, but he thought it was great that she was a painter who dabbled in songwriting and then would have these hit songs, especially the song that Kathy Mattea took to number one, Come From the Heart. Guy was just so proud that Susanna came up with that song.
The songwriters revered him. So why did it take so long for the public to come to that place?
I think there just wasn't the avenues for the public to hear him in the early days. Radio didn't play him. We didn't have the internet. He didn't have the money to tour extensively. When the Americana genre came along and there was actually a radio format, and then there became festivals and clubs and an industry built around it, that really helped. And also, at the same time that Americana was coming to be, Guy switched from major label to independent record labels. And independent record labels were able to spend that time in artist development and promotion, where the major label, there's just such a deep roster, and whoever's making the hits is going to get the most attention. So I think Guy going to Sugar Hill and Barry Poss, who owned Sugar Hill Records, did a great service to Guy. He was able to start recording the way he wanted to record and touring the way he wanted to tour. Guy was a very literary songwriter, and he did what he always wanted to do instead of trying to fit the square peg of Guy Clark into the round hole of country music. That was just never going to work.
Guy and Susanna separated for a few years, and during that time he wrote Dublin Blues. I'm always struck by that line, and not caring where you are. Anybody else would have written and not wondering where you are, but he knows where she is. Was that to her? Was that about Townes Van Zandt and her? Do you know?
Actually, it was Susanna was in Dublin with Guy, and then she left to go to Italy with her friend Tom Gribben. Just a friend, mutual friends with Guy and Susanna. But Guy, you know, the whole 6 years that Susanna didn't live with him, Guy was pining for her, wanted her back. He told me that when she left to go to Italy with another man, even though it wasn't a romantic thing, it was Tom, he just was feeling that pain of not having her with him. During the time they were separated, they still spent a lot of time together. They just weren't living together.
Did she leave Guy for Townes?
No, she left Guy because Guy was a pain in the ass. She left Guy because she just had enough of him. She was taking care of him and doing everything, and he wasn't giving anything back. He wasn't emotionally as available as he should have been because he was so focused on his career. And Townes, I always think from everything I learned that Townes and Susanna were much more vulnerable and could fulfill something in each other that Guy couldn't, because although he was certainly vulnerable in his later years, he was really stoic. And I think there was just something in him that no one could reach. He and I spent a lot of time talking about that. And I think it's because by the time he and I started working on the book, he had been diagnosed with lymphoma. and he was feeling his mortality then. And Susanna was really suffering during those years as well. Before she died, we talked a lot about that. Marcy, it was just really complicated. But the love, to me, that's what always stood out is, boy, these people certainly love each other. They've hung in there through illness and addiction and suicide and adultery and everything else.
You talk about how focused he was on his work and how hard that was for Susanna. But for the last 15 years of her life, when she was bedridden, he was still working and he also took care of her. So I guess he stepped up to the plate, huh?
He did step up to the plate. I mean, when he was on the road, she had caregivers. And when he was home, the caregivers would come and go, but Guy was there. It was really hard on him. But I remember I was with Guy and another reporter was interviewing Guy for a story. And the other reporter asked him, plain and simple, well, why didn't you get divorced? And Guy just was so shocked that he even asked the question. He goes, I'm from West Texas. We don't do that. It never even occurred to him that he could divorce Susanna. That's not what he wanted.
Was she bedridden for psychological reasons?
I think it was a mixture. Certainly, she had this really complicated grief that began when her sister committed suicide and she and Towns were so close and that was the last straw. But also, she was an addict. She was taking pills and drinking and smoking. And she had some agoraphobia, and she did have back issues. There was physical pain part to it, which she was self-medicating and never really addressed with a doctor. So there was a lot going on there. It was sad. I did not know the old Susanna that Rodney Crowell and Steve Earle knew. I met Susanna the year after Towns died. So I knew her for 12 years and I saw her in street clothes one time in those 12 years. Otherwise, she was in her nightgown. But she spent a lot of time talking with me and she was kind and forthcoming. And I didn't think she was crazy. A lot of people wrote her off as crazy. I never thought that. I thought she was really smart and just messed up.
When I interviewed Steve Earle, when his Guy Clark tribute CD came out, he talked about the salons, the songwriter gatherings that Guy and Susanna and Towns would have at their house. And he said it was Susanna that we all wanted to impress.
Yes, that's what everybody said. When I was working on my book and I was interviewing all these songwriters, every one of them talked about how Susanna was their muse. She had a lot of power in that songwriter of a certain era in Nashville.
I was also amazed at Guy's openness. Right after Susanna died, he gave you her diaries, her audio journals, and he hadn't even read or listened to them yet.
I know. I thought that was really brave of him. It was just like 2 days after Susanna died, I was at the house. And before I left, Guy said, oh, I left some boxes by the door there for you. And I went and I looked and I kind of lifted the lid on the box and I saw there were tapes and books in there. And I was like, well, what is this? And he said, those are Susanna's journals. And I said, have you gone through all of this? And he said, no. He said, whatever's in there is Susanna's truth and you're welcome to it. Guy wasn't the type that wanted to pretty things up. He was okay with life being messy and with whatever the truth was, it was. After I was reading the diaries and listening to stuff, I'd go back to Guy and say, boy, Susanna said this in her diary. And he'd just be like, yeah, that sounds like Susanna. There was never anything to hide with Guy.
You mentioned him telling a reporter, I'm from West Texas, we don't do divorce. And he was such a Texas icon. I think about in Dublin Blues, where he sings about Austin and the Chili Parlor Bar and their Mad Dog margaritas. Why did they stay in Nashville?
Because the publishing business is in Nashville. Now, with technology, you can live anywhere and work anywhere. But when Guy was coming up in the business, he needed to be able to go to his publisher's office. And being a paid songwriter, that's where he made his income. And it was important for him to be in Nashville for that. If it hadn't been for that, he would have moved back to Texas. He always thought he would move back to Texas. And I think he regretted that he never was able to do that. But Texas was really important to him, and he spent an awful lot of time there. So although his residence was Nashville for more than 40 years, he was in Texas for a good chunk of every year.
was in Austin. In the chili parlor bar, drinking Mad Dog margaritas and not caring where you are. Here I sit in Dublin, just rolling cigarettes, holding back and choking back the shakes with every breath. So forgive me all my anger, forgive me all my faults. There's no need to forgive me for thinking what I thought. I loved you from the get-go, and I'll love you till I die. I loved you on the Spanish steps the day you said goodbye. I am just a poor boy, works my middle name. If money was a reason, well, I would not be the same. I'll stand up and be counted. I'll face up to the truth. I'll walk away from trouble, but I can't walk away from you. So forgive me all my anger, forgive me all my faults. There's no need to forgive me for thinking what I thought. I loved you from the get-go, and I'll love you till I die. I loved you on the Spanish steps the day you said goodbye.
And Dublin Blues. The song takes on such a deeper meaning after having talked with Tamara Saviano, director of Without Getting Killed or Caught, new documentary about Guy Clark and the relationship between him, his wife Susanna, and Townes Van Zandt. It's based largely on the diaries and audio journals, which you hear in the film, of Susanna Clark.